Good morning. Good to be with you, beloved. What a meeting we had this morning as we thought of the incomparable Christ, who is like unto thee. That's the song that Israel sang. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. It's good to be with you, beloved. I wasn't sure I was going to make it this week. The Lord is good. Even though we're not 100%, both my wife and myself, we were down. The Lord has seen us fit to give us enough strength to be here. We're going to begin to read at Genesis 25. We're going to read a few passages as we go along, but we're going to begin in Genesis 25. Genesis 25, and begin to read at verse 24. When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over, like an hairy garment. They called his name Esau. After that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bore them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a quiet man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob boiled pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint," because therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage and lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. We're going to pause there. But what we're going to look at today is the legacy of Esau. Esau's legacy. You know, Steve told us this morning, if you do a survey about the holy men in the Bible, he'll show that David will get some votes. I can say with equal assurance, if they, in that same poll, Esau would get no votes. There was nothing holy about Esau. Let me hasten to say that Jacob was no angel either in this whole thing. Because he was true to his name, he was a supplanter. And is it significant that the very first utterance you hear from the mouth of this Jacob, the very first words recorded, "Sell me, I pray thee." He was a supplanter, and he lived up to his name. But we leave Jacob for another time, and we're going to look at the legacy of Esau. I'm going to begin with his decision. I'm just going to outline what I have. We definitely won't when completed, but if you think it's going to be profitable, you can pursue it after. We're going to look at his decision. And after that, we're going to look at his degeneration, his decline. We're going to look at his defiance. We're going to look at his dwelling. We're going to look at his descendants. And I'm sure we're not going to get to look at his doom, but that's in Obadiah, and some in Isaiah, and some in Jeremiah, some in Ezekiel. The doom of Esau, the doom of Edom. It's all there in Obadiah. But his decision. He sold his birthright. Esau means he was a man of the earth. He was a natural man. He was destitute of spiritual life, a man of the earth. There are several names connected with Esau. And as you go through his life, Esau, we read someplace as, is Edom. He was red, he was hairy all over. He was the progenitor of the Edomites. But when we get to his descendants, it's fascinating, beloved, this man. And the animosity and the hatred that characterized his life and his descendants. He made a decision. I know that Jacob made the offer, but he made the decision to sell his birthright. That which entitled him to all the privileges of the firstborn. To be in line for the seed that would crush the serpent's head. In line for all the blessings that were promised to Abraham. In thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The privilege of being the leader of the family, and as such would be the family priest, because that's the privilege of the firstborn. But he had no respect for that. And this gets kind of complicated, because the parents gets involved. And it makes this a dysfunctional family, taking sides, in spite of what God had revealed. Why was Isaac so intent in blessing Esau? When before they were born, God said, the elder shall serve the younger. Yet he was insistent because he loved Esau. He was a man of the field. He was a skillful hunter. And he fed his father well with his game. But Isaac was intent in blessing him. On the other hand, Rebekah loved Jacob. And even though God had decreed that the blessings would come through Jacob, Isaac still wanted to bless Esau. And Rebekah still wanted to help God out, because it's not happening. My husband is gravitating to the older boy, and I must do something. And they both get in the way. They're both messed up. But go get back to Esau. He was in the direct line of the Abrahamic promise. And we have to understand, even though we don't want to be advised and we don't want to be instructed when we make decisions, you have to live with your decision. You have to live with the consequences of those decisions. It's important to understand that. And these days, it's always someone else's fault. And that's what Esau said. It's not my fault. It's his fault. He stole my birthright. No. You decided to sell it because you did not appreciate it. You know, beloved, in this life, we forfeit so much because we have decided that we have a better way. We have a more convenient way. We have better solutions than what God has outlined for us. I was intrigued this morning when I heard Brother Jeff talk about the wrong side of history. They're the wrong side of what God has said, what God has decreed. And you who stand up for what God says, you are on the wrong side? Somebody says, give me a break. But Esau was a man who was destitute of anything that was spiritual. And today we treat the Word of God as though it's another book. Don't tell me what the Bible says. What's wrong with loving? That's what they call it. That's not what the Bible calls it. But that's what people call it. What's wrong with loving? What's wrong with it? Anybody ever said that to you? What's wrong with it? And Esau, I think, is described here. And so many who have rejected spiritual things because they cannot appreciate them. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, the natural man. And that's what Esau was, a natural man. He was a man of the earth. He was a man of the field. There was nothing spiritual about him. The one thing in Jacob that made him so much better was that he understood the spiritual significance of the birthright. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. What good would this do me? I am faint. Did you ever hear of anybody dying from missing a meal? Esau said, I'm ready to die. I'm faint. I'm going to die if I don't get this bowl of soup. Excuses. Their foolishness unto him, neither indeed can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And that's why, beloved, we appreciate spiritual things. We appreciate what the Bible says. We appreciate who the Lord Jesus Christ is. That's what we were dwelling on this morning. We know, the world says, but he was just a Jew. I believe he was just another prophet, maybe the greatest of the prophets. He was a good man, and that's as far as they would go. But we believe when he walked this scene, he was God incarnate. God came down to dwell among us. John says, we beheld his glory. the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Esau's decision. We're going to read in Romans in chapter 9, because this gives us something of the history of the children of Israel and God's dealings with his people, the sovereignty of our God. And it says in Romans in chapter 9, for instance, in verse 11, for the children being not yet born, when they were still in the womb, being not yet born, and neither having done any good or evil, speaking of Esau and Jacob, mind you, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. How old Isaac didn't understand that. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, these are not absolute terms. God doesn't hate anybody. He hates sin, but he doesn't hate anybody. He didn't hate Esau. What are you saying, beloved? That his love for Jacob so exceeded the love for Esau that it seems like hate. In other words, he loved Esau less. Because the Lord Jesus used the very same terms, you know. You cannot be my disciple if you don't hate your mother and your father. He's not saying to hate your parents. He's saying, you got to love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. You got to love me above these. That's what he asked Peter. Do you love me more than these? Our love for him should be far exceeding our love for each other, love for mankind. You love him first of all. You love me more than these. There are consequences to our decisions. We decide to live a certain lifestyle. And when things happen to us, we want everybody to drop everything else and pay attention to us. But while we were in that lifestyle, you won't take any advice. It's my life. I'm going to live it the way I want to. Now you're reaping the consequences, and it's you need to pay attention to me. I need help. But you didn't listen to advice. Esau, a man of the field. Esau, the natural man. Esau made a decision to cling to the natural and to reject the spiritual. To hold on to the temporal and to forget the eternal. So much like so many people in the world. I remember I was in New York City. We were in New York City having meetings in Times Square one night, and give somebody a track. He said, I don't want that. Give me a dollar. I know what I can do with that. Well, it was a charlatan preacher also in New York. He says, he always trying to collect money. He says, don't tell me about pie in the sky by and by. He says, I want my pie now, and I want ice cream on top. And people give him money. He said, look at me, I'm wearing a $600 suit. And they don't, can't even buy one, and they're giving him money. Slick guy. I'm talking about people who don't regard spiritual things, who don't regard eternal things. It's all about now. That's what Esau was about. He was natural. He was for now and not about eternity. So his decision, and his decision backfired, we know that. But from his decision, what happened? We see his degeneration, his decline, based on his decision. Things began to go downhill for Esau. Chapter 27. The life of Esau, it takes a couple of weeks just to do it. The life of Esau, his degeneration, 27 and 34, it says, when Esau heard the words of his father, what words? By deception, yes, Jacob came in. And Jacob lived up to his name. Supplanter. He was a liar. He was a hypocrite. He was a deceiver. And he was a thief. Plain and simple. And in spite of all the blessings he received from his father, he couldn't function for God until God blessed him. And God couldn't bless him until he recognized who he was when he had an encounter with God. And God said, tell me, I pray thee, your name. Tell me your name. He says, my name is Jacob. Oh, beloved, that's where we need to be. He says, I'm gonna lay hold on you. I'm gonna lay hold on you until you bless me. And God says, I can't bless you. Tell me your name. He had to acknowledge I'm a supplanter. He says, my name is Jacob. Oh, beloved, that's the source of blessing. We acknowledge who we are and what we have done. My name is Jacob. And God says, all right. From here on, your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince that has power with God and with man. What's your name? My name is Jacob. But back to Esau. I have a tendency to get off on Jacob. So we have a lot to talk about. about Esau. But so, Esau heard the words of his father. He cried with a great and an exceedingly bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. You see the lamentation here? And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly called Jacob? Yes. For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. No, he didn't. You sold it. And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And here is the sad part. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord. Wow. That's not what Isaac wanted to do, but he didn't have a choice. He said, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with grain and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do more unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. He went from favorite son to groveling and begging. He cried with an exceedingly bitter cry. I don't think he was sorry for his actions. I think he was sorry about the consequences. So like so many, we would do it again. But for the consequences. A lot of people say, but I'm sorry. Sorry not because of what I've done. Sorry because you caught me. I have made him thy Lord. He begged for a blessing. Let's see the true Easter interpretation in the New Testament. This is what it's saying here. This is the interpretation. Esau, Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. No, he didn't steal it. For one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know how afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He found no place to change his father's mind. He couldn't change his father's mind. He groveled, he begged. But there was no way to undo what he had done based on his decision. You and I, beloved, would have to live with the consequences of our decisions. You and I, beloved, would have to account for what we have done. It says, really, in chapter 25 and 24 of Genesis, that he despised. That's a strong word. Our brother used it this morning. Total disregard and hatred. He despised his birthright. He didn't think of it as something valuable. It's to look on something with contempt. You ever heard about contempt? That can get you a lot of years in jail if you have contempt for a court. He had contempt, total disregard. He didn't care anything. It's like the story that the Lord Jesus told of this king who made the kingdom of heaven. He says, like unto a king who made a great feast for his son, the wedding feast for his son, and he invited certain people. It says they made light of it. They didn't pay serious attention. In other words, they didn't regard what the king was doing. They looked on the king's invitation with scorn. We have better things to do. We have better things to do. But you know, I'm glad that the king, spiritualizing this, I'm glad that the king sent out on the highways and byways and bid everyone to come in. Because I heard that invitation. Whosoever will. Come on in. Come on in. Another thing about Esau in chapter 28 is that he was defiant. You know, he understood the family into which he was born. He understood that God had marked out Abraham and his descendants for blessing. He knew that his grandfather said to his servant, go and take me a wife from my father's land. He said, go, don't let my son take a wife of the Canaanites. He understood that. His younger brother went to Paddan Aram. Esau married the women of Canaan. You know, Isaac had his ups and downs, beloved, but I want to read something in chapter 26. In the height of his joy and rejoicing, in the height of his greatest triumph, when his servants found water and a place of refreshment, when he was back in the land in Beersheba, this is the commentary of the scriptures, beloved, concerning him. It says, he called the place, 26 and 33, Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. They found water, they were rejoicing, but it ends this way. And Esau was 40 years old when he took as his wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. What a grief of mind, unto Isaac and Rebekah. Oh, we read the Proverbs, my son, despise not the instructions of your father. Despise not the instruction of your father. Esau, it's my life, and I'm going to marry who I want. You can't tell me. I'm going to take wives of the Canaanite women. He tried to appease them later by marrying his cousin, the daughter of Ishmael. That's what we have in chapter 28 and verse 6. But he was defiant, beloved. That's the point I'm trying to make here. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob, he's still looking for a blessing, and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take himself a wife from there. And that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. That was well known in the Abrahamic family. It got to be a Semitic bride. He didn't care. And Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Paddan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan, he already married them, he saw that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto him unto the wives which he had, Mahalalel, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth, to be his wife. Too little, too late. But that still didn't qualify him. But you see the defiance in Esau, and there are consequences when you go against the revealed will of God. There are consequences. God has standards. He's got rules. He's got laws. He's got his revealed will for the family. He tells us who is in charge. I mean, we don't pay attention to it, but he tells us who's in charge. He didn't say parents obey your children. He never said that. He's established rules for the home, and the parents are in charge. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. He established rules for the assembly, beloved. Everybody is not in charge. He's given us leaders, elders, bishops. He's told us who should take the platform, who should be involved in public ministry, and who should not be. And we find ways to circumvent that and to have our own way. And we start reasoning from a human standpoint, like Esau. What good is that? Defiance. He's given us rules in society, beloved, whether we like it or not. And he has told us who is in charge. He's told us who's in charge. Who's in charge? That we should obey magistrates. We should submit to those who are in authority. That's not popular ministry, but that's the only ministry I know the truth. And there's a woe pronounced on those who defy constituted authority and the revealed will of God. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. What's the way of Cain? Defiance of the revealed will of God. Abel came with blood. If Abel knew, Cain knew also. Gone after Balaam for reward, the greed of Balaam. There's so much of that outside there, calling itself religion and calling itself evangelization and calling itself Christianity, and all they're doing is going after the greed of Balaam and perished in the gainsay of Korah. Korah did not acknowledge constituted authority. We are just as authoritative as Moses. Who is Moses and who is Aaron? We came from the same line. But God had sent us not so much the line, but it was centered in one family. The priesthood. It was centered in the family of Aaron. So you could have been from the tribe of Levi. You had other functions. But the point is, you cannot defy God's law, God's word, with impunity. And I tell you, some bitterness resulted because of his defiance. I'll have to cut some out. So, got 5 minutes. So let's deal with his descendants, beloved, because this is the descendants. You remember? He went and he married the daughter of Ishmael. All right, chapter, let's go way over to 36. We have to cover this one, at least part of it anyway. His defiance, now his descendants. Verse 8 says, and Esau dwelt in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir. These are the names of Esau's sons. Eliphaz, the son of Ada, the wife of Esau. Reuel, the son of Basemath, the wife of Esau. It's going to get more interesting here. And the sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, and Gatam, and Kenaz. And Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz. Remember, Eliphaz is Esau's son. And Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bore to Eliphaz Amalek. Wow. His descendants. She bore to Eliphaz Amalek, and these are the sons of Ada, and so on. Esau's wife. I figured that would ring a bell. Amalek, the perennial enemy of the people of God. The seed of Jacob. Is Esau's grandson, and Amalek, the most vicious enemy of Jacob's seed. The first appearance as they left Egypt and have gone over the Red Sea, and now in the wilderness. And I'm really pressed for time here, beloved, but it says in Exodus 17, Then came Amalek. Amalek means warlike. perpetual war. You remember what Esau had pledged after he understood that Jacob was going to receive the blessing, and after his father said, I have made him your Lord, he says, after the days of my father, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. He never took that back. He never took that back, and I'm going to just go do this quickly for you, beloved, because I know you know it all. That didn't come out the right way. I know you know what I'm talking about. you have to excuse me. I've been sick all week. Excuses. Then came Amalek, and we know that war against Amalek. Amalek means the flesh. Amalek is the flesh. And beloved, you and I, we struggle and we have war with the flesh on a daily basis. And that's what Amalek is. Because Amalek represents Esau, the natural man, and Jacob represents the spiritual man. And God says, I'm going to wage war with Amalek until he's wiped out. We know that Israel prevailed and they set up a banner there after that war in Exodus 17, and they called the name of the place Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. And God said to the first king of Israel, you have to go and utterly destroy Amalek. We're talking about Esau still. We're talking about Esau. This is Esau's descendants. We're talking about his descendants. And you know, we know that Saul went and he partially destroyed Amalek. He brought all the good stuff. You know, we look down on certain people. They can't make a contribution. We're going to save this guy. He's an ungodly man, but he's got a lot of money. He's cultured. He's educated. But God says utterly destroy. And he didn't. He saved Agag. Agag was the king of the Amalekites. Thank God for men like Samuel. And Samuel had to complete what God had given Saul to do. Samuel said to Agag, he thought, well, I'm smiling. You know, it's just some criminals and, oh boy, I got away with it. I'm smiling all the way. No, he says, the sting of death is past. Not really. As your sword have made women childless, so shall your mother be childless. And he hacked him to death. Ishmael, his descendant. This is the same Ishmael that mocked when Isaac was born. The Bible says there's always conflict between the spirit and the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other. Let's just wrap it up here with his descendants, because we have some noted descendants of Esau. You need to research this and look at it, beloved. Look at some of those noted people. First, we have Agag. Then we have another man by the name of Haman. You remember him? What was he up to? To destroy all the Jews. Who was Haman? He was an Agagite. He was an Amalekite. He was a descendant of Esau. And God dealt with him. Remember King Herod? He was an Agagite. He was an Edomite. I think the Romans called him Edomians. He was from Edom. He was an Edomite. What was his intent? To destroy. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? His intent was to destroy the Lord Jesus. That's his descendants, beloved. Down the line. I have no documentation for this. I can't prove this one. But I'm going to tell you what I heard. You must have heard the same thing, or you must have read the same thing. But I'm this is not a doctrine. But it makes sense to me. Somebody told me that Hitler was an Amalekite.
He was an Edomite.
Take his word's worth. You can research it.
But that's what they tell. That somebody told me.
You see, all this, beloved, we are saying to say that no, the pledge of Esau to destroy his brother came down the line. Came down the line. Oh, that you have to look up for yourself, or we'd probably do it another time. You have to look at his dwelling there in Edom, that desolate place, and you have to look at his doom in Obadiah. His doom in Obadiah. It's interesting, beloved, but the consequences of the decision that we make. Esau, a man of the field, destitute of spiritual life. Be careful when you associate out there and you think that the cultured, educated, and the politically correct person, you have to align with them. You have to align with them. No, beloved, our pledges to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the mind of Christ. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. God bless his word. I chopped it up, but I think we said something that you can take away with you today. God bless his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy wondrous love. We thank thee for thy mercies and thy grace, and we give thee thanks for thy great salvation. We thank thee, Lord, for the spiritual man, the man within the man, the new man, occasioned by the new birth that the Lord Jesus spoke about. We thank thee that thou hast given to us eternal life, and this life is in thy Son. He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. We thank thee for this day, the privilege of remembering our blessed Redeemer, and the privilege of opening thy word together. We ask thy blessing on thy people here, and thy people everywhere, and watch over us as we part the one from the other, Father. Lord, take us to our respective homes in peace and in safety. Remember those who are sick. We commit them to thee and to the word of thy grace. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.